Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Today we're going to talk about how to become more godly. That's right, how to become a more godly person, a more godly Christian. Sometimes we talk about becoming more spiritual, a more spiritual Christian. And what we mean by that is more spiritually minded, more controlled by the Spirit who indwells within us, the Holy Spirit, than by our flesh. And that's important, isn't it? How is this accomplished? And we need to understand how this is accomplished, how it is that we grow, how it is that we become more godly, more spiritual, more Christ-like, more spiritual power in our lives to carry out God's will upon the earth. How is this accomplished? And so thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 9, for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and we will look immediately at our text to figure out what the Bible says about this subject, because, of course, that's the only thing that matters. To answer the question, how to become more godly, we must look to the Word of God. And so back to 1 Timothy 4:7, but reject profane and old wives' tables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So verse 8 is sort of an expansion upon this phrase in the last part of verse 7, but the heart of it all is right here in this phrase, this short little phrase in the last part of 1 Timothy 4:7, which says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Now that's the answer, but like so many things, that's not the answer that we prefer, that's not the answer we want to hear, because exercise means hard work. It means discipline. It is the Greek word that carries over into the English as the word gymnasium. Athletic training. Vigorous exertion. Willing sacrifice. Now, there's a lot of emphasis in our day upon physical exercise. And Paul even deals with that in the next verse when he says, for bodily exercise profits a little. The old King James says profits little, as if almost to say it doesn't profit anything, but that's not what it's saying. It profits a little. There is profit in bodily exercise, but there's far more profit in spiritual exercise. Bodily exercise profits a little. A little bit. For a little while. It's not unprofitable, it's profitable. It's just by comparison, there's something that is so much more profitable. And Paul is not saying to Timothy, neglect bodily exercise in order to become more spiritual. He's not saying, leave bodily exercise off. Stop exercising your body and start exercising your soul. What he's saying is a matter of priority, give more priority to exercising yourself toward godliness than you do exercising your body toward physical fitness. Nothing wrong with being physically fit. In fact, that's a good thing. Better to be physically fit than not. You can be a better servant of the Lord Jesus Christ if you are physically fit than if you are not. Surely I don't need to convince you of that. So there's nothing that is spiritually superior by being a slob, being overweight, not exercising, not taking care of yourself, that doesn't make you a better servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies are our temple. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And maybe even more practically to the point, our body is the vehicle by which we serve the Lord in this world. From the day we are born until the day we die, we have a limited number, a finite number, of days upon the earth to serve God, and we will serve Him best if we are in decent physical condition. And we have a stewardship, a responsibility to be physically fit rather than physically unfit because of neglect, because of sloth, because of gluttony, because of drug use, and I'm not even thinking about illegal drugs or tobacco or whatever. These things are a drain upon our physical fitness. I don't want to get sidetracked into all that, but I am convinced that most Americans take too many prescription drugs. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I can't tell you which ones you can safely get rid of. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. But I know that I have spent my life resisting prescriptions that doctors wanted to give me. And I'm at a place in my life where there is one that I must have. And I've come to the conclusion, came to that conclusion very readily. If I explained it to you, you would agree with me, that I had no choice in that matter and that I needed to take it. I welcome it. I'm glad to have it. I'm thankful for it. I'm so grateful that God has given medical science the ability to provide this for me. My forefathers, if they'd had the condition I have, would have been in heap big trouble because they wouldn't have had anything that is available today. And I have it, and it works beautifully, and I have no problems because of it, and I'm grateful. And I have a prescription that I fill regularly, and I take daily, and I will have to take every day that I live upon the earth for the rest of my life. So I'm not saying that we should get rid of all of our prescriptions, but I am saying that I have spent a good bit of my life trying to find alternate ways to deal with problems. When the doctor tried to write me a prescription, sometimes has written me a prescription, I haven't always filled it. I have done some research. I have found out, and I could tell you of conditions that I have had, that the doctor's solution was to write me a prescription. And I'm not down on doctors. I go back to the doctor who did this. I appreciate him. I love him. I thank God for him. I think he's an excellent, competent doctor. I recommend him to others. But I always do throw in a little word of caution. Be careful. He's like most doctors. He's very quick to write a prescription. His mind, his training, his way of dealing with things is, if you've got a problem, the solution is a prescription. There's a drug that can fix that. But those things aren't always good. And I know people who, they have drugs that fix one problem, but they create other problems. And that's not always the way to be physically fit. But here I am getting off onto a sidetrack that really isn't centered in the Bible, but it's related to what we're talking about here. It's not that physical fitness is a bad thing, or that it's even a non important matter. It's not negligible. It's not nothing. It's not just something to ignore altogether. That's not the point. Bodily exercise and bodily fitness, bodily condition profits a little. It profits for a little while. Profits for as long as you're on this planet. Now, even when I say those things, I have to put in another little caveat, and that is to say that all of us, no doubt, have, if we live long enough, we will have some kind of health condition that we really didn't bring on ourselves, and we're not able to eliminate. And what is that from? There are two things, basically. Number one, we are members of a fallen human race that is dying. It is dying and decaying, and that's just the way it is. We belong to that species, to that kind of creature. Ever since the fall of Adam in the garden, man has been appointed to die. Before the fall, Adam and Eve, and presumably their progeny, would have lived forever. Their bodies would have been perfect. They wouldn't have worn out. They wouldn't have got sick. They wouldn't have had any problems. But sin has created the problems, okay? If we were created differently, if we were angels that didn't have physical bodies, then we wouldn't have physical problems, would we? Even the unholy angels don't have diseases and injuries and problems because they don't have bodies. So God has created us this way, and because of the fall, we are subject to the decay and limitations of our body, and there's not a whole lot we can do about that. I'm not saying that if you would take care of your body, you would never get sick. I'm certainly not saying if you would be spiritually minded enough, you would never get sick. I'm not saying that you can order your life in such a way that you can avoid all of the possible physical maladies that would render you less strong, less able to serve the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. It's obvious that, and I said there were two reasons. Number one, because we live in a world of sin and a human race that's affected by sin. And number two, because of the sovereignty of God, and He's the one who appoints whatever specific problems that I have in my life as opposed to the ones you have in your life. We're both members of the same human race with the same descent into death and the same condition of a decaying body, but we don't all have the same problems. One has cancer, another has heart problems, and so forth and so on. We all have different problems, not necessarily the same ones. And God is the one who appoints them. I've had cancer twice. I don't question that. I don't say, who did that? Did God do that, or did the devil do that? The devil may have done it, but only if God permitted. God had a purpose in it. God appointed me to have cancer. And God has also appointed that I would overcome the cancer. It's been, now 26 years since I had cancer, the first cancer. I started to say the first time, but that implies that the second one was a recurrence of the first one, and it's not. It was a different thing altogether. But it's been 26 years since I had my first cancer, and it's been 13 years since I had my second one, and I'm doing fine. But there's no way I could have avoided either one of those. I promise you. Not with exercise, not with diet, not with anything. There was no way I could have avoided either one of those, as far as anything that I can tell, and as far as anything the doctor told me. So we can't present ourselves and maintain ourselves in perfect physical condition by exercising and eating right and doing all the right things. It just isn't going to happen. But we all know that if you eat right and exercise right, you are going to be in better general health than if you didn't. So common sense, wisdom would say, let's do that. It does profit a little. But to put all of our focus on that and neglect the spiritual is the height of folly. That's idiocy. So what if you have a better body than I do? If you die and go to hell, what will that profit you? So what if you've got a better body than I do? If you do very little to serve the Lord with that body, what does it profit you? There's something else that's far more profitable. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.